Father of Storms. Written by Dean Jones. Produced by Be Here. Episode 9.
Be Here. Bringing books to life. Vision. Without sight.
Chapter 17. Death of a Legend. May sat by her fire, working the twine she had collected into the basket at her feet. The night was cold, forcing her to gather her shawl around her shoulders. Her home was filled with the trinkets and accessories of a long life, working for the people she loved. The rugs which adorned her floors had been gifts from a family who had long been gone from the world, but who had never left her heart, as their faces always came into her mind as she studied the expertly woven material and its intricate patterns swirling around the edges. The room flickered with the light from the fire. The sun began to set outside as its last rays danced across the walls, spotlighting the decorative carvings from boar bones and deer, more memories she had collected and cherished. May had spent her life developing her skills and understanding, especially of those around her. She needed to know people so she could keep ahead of their needs to ensure she could provide for them. Building up their trust, knowing she had their best interests at heart, was important to her. This was what she had accomplished. She had provided a solid service to hundreds of people, from small villages to big towns across Mercia. The gifts that lined her walls and filled her tables were testament to this life of service. She took a moment to reflect on all that she had done. Time had been kind to her. She had accomplished so much more than she ever imagined. The chair creaked as she rocked back. The furs over her legs slipped slightly, exposing her feet to the air. She quickly rearranged herself so she could feel the warmth again. It was still midsummer, but the cold air had descended on the village as the sun went down the day before. May knew there was something happening, so she was busying herself while digesting her thoughts. A smile broke her concentration as Seth popped into her mind. She found herself reflecting on their time together. She was deeply proud of Seth, knowing him to be a skilled spey worker, beyond even her own abilities. Her teachings had lately become conversations and information exchanges. Seth was drinking in all the details of how energy passed through living things and where it pooled in the earth. His mastery was obvious to all who understood the nature of those who worked with the goddess's energy. She had recognized his potential in the first moment he drew breath and had decided then she would teach him her ways, though she knew his father would not agree easily to her request. Seth's father had been more stubborn about this than he was when he was told he would be married to Seth's mother. She had reminded him of this during their discussions. The argument didn't last long. She happily accepted the compromise that Seth would be viewed as training with his father to become a warrior and farmer, while working with Spey would be secret, so he wasn't treated differently by his friends and townsfolk. Here they were, 18 years later. Seth was a powerful man, both physically and magically. She had seen him do things with the energies around him that she had never seen another spey worker do before. She had seen with her own eyes a bolt of lightning come from nowhere and strike down with unnerving accuracy. A shudder rolled down her spine as she remembered Seth killing Ardeth.
"He is a very special boy,"
she thought.
"He is indeed special, May."
May looked up from her seat towards the source of the voice. For a moment she wondered if she had said the words aloud. To hear her thoughts confirmed was slightly confusing.
"Corey," I must admit I had hoped you would not come, but alas, some things in life are always inevitable.
May said as she quickly gathered her wits.
Hush, old woman,
Corey said as he stepped from the shadows into the light of the fire.
I'm here to find out more about my nephew. He is, after all, married to my niece, and you know I am protective of my family.
The hiss in his voice gave May no comfort that he was here for any other reason than for his own agenda. May took in the cloaked figure standing in her house. His unmistakable nose marked him from a distance. She considered the black hooded cloak around his shoulders and realized the purpose of a deep cowl was to hide his hook beak so he could remain anonymous for as long as possible. His hair, black and shiny, was thin, without body, though he clearly thought otherwise, as she had watched him play with the ends often before tossing it to the side. Having just been thinking about Seth, the size difference between them was clear. Corey had a thin and wiry frame, while Seth was filled with muscle and strength.
Your loyalty to your brother is well spoken of, Corey. I know he values your counsel as much now as ever.
May quickly tried to gather her composure. Corey had taken her by surprise. She could always feel another spey worker when they were close, and she hadn't noticed him at all.
My brother,
Corey spat,
listens less to me and more to you. I told him the marriage to Seth was not the right decision, and yet, here we are, with them now, happily joined. Tell me, old woman, how did you convince my dumb brother this union should take place?
Corey moved closer. May felt the intensity of his aura as he stood over her. Even at her full height, May was considerably smaller than Corey, but she had been around for too long to be intimidated by this man. She had seen many like him in her time. All were thirsty for knowledge and power. Power, most of all.
I simply pointed out the benefits of his village being allied with Seth, his father, and their village. This is a troubling time, Corey. I'm sure you have picked up on this.
May casually picked up a basket, then moved it to the table beside the fire. She could feel Corey's stare burrowing into the back of her head. She could also feel something else, a buzzing in her mind, and thoughts which were not her own. Quickly, she concentrated to shut her mind. This was her space. She would not allow anyone else access to it. The growl from Corey confirmed what she presumed. He was attempting to control her mind. This was a development she had not seen coming. Corey, a mind moulder? She had never met anyone who could do this, and it had been a long time since she last heard tell of the ability. She thought back to the tales from her youth, but she couldn't recall tales of anyone being able to even glimpse another spey worker's thoughts, never mind trying to control them. He was powerful, and she had been wrong to overlook him for so long.
So, Corey, tell me what you wish to know about Seth.
May knew what she must do.
I want to know how powerful he is. What stage is his development at? I know publicly he is the model warrior in training and role model, but I can feel the energy flowing from him. Ardeth told me many things about how he had been developing.
May's ears pricked up at the mention of a now-dead apprentice.
I knew I had to meet him, so convince my brother to take me along on the hunt,
he said with a sneer.
When I met him, I saw the light emanating from his soul. He is different, May. And I want to know how different.
May felt the probing in her mind as Corey tried to gain access, but her resolve was set. She would give him some information to make him feel he had dragged it from her.
You resist well, May. I can feel the walls around your mind. I can see now where the boy learned to block me.
His lips curled at the memory of being thwarted by Seth during their meeting.
But you must know, I will get the information I want, one way or another.
Corey reached out his hand towards May. She flinched involuntarily as the strain of keeping this man out of her mind began to take its toll.
You seem adept at mind reading, Corey. I wasn't aware you had the skill at all.
Skill? This is a gift, you horrible old hag. This is pure energy. And I am the only one, apart from the gods themselves, who has ever developed the ability to control those around me.
May had always suspected that Corey had an ego as large as his hunger for power. This was how she intended to defeat him.
A gift, you say? Well, I suppose there are those who would see it that way. However, there are more who class it as a bane. It's called Locus Curse, if I'm not mistaken.
The words hung in the air between them. The effect was noticeable. Corey's anger flared as she felt him lose his grip on her mind. That was enough for her to strike. Quickly, she swung her walking stick. Corey, trying to avoid the blow, fell backwards, hitting the door heavily. The crack of his skull smacking the wood filled the room. May directed all her concentration toward this man lying on the floor.
May, please, you don't understand.
Corey raised his hands, pleading with her. The man sat on the floor and begged for compassion. May could feel her own blood boiling as she looked down on this pitiful creature at her feet.
You enter my home, try to control my mind, then beg for mercy. You do not have any conscience at all, do you, Corey?
Corey squirmed under her gaze. She could see blood starting to stain his cloak. She concluded he must have split his head when he hit the door.
You want to know about Seth? Let me tell you one thing, Corey. He is unique. If Ardeth told you half of what she knew, then you were aware of this already.
She moved closer to the man, cowering under her stare.
Which means you are here for another reason.
May understood what would happen when she approached him. She was old, having lived a long life, so the thud from his fist was no surprise. She felt the knife go into her torso and the pain that erupted a moment later. Yes, she had lived a long time. She felt the kick to her legs, causing the room to tumble as she toppled backwards. As her head hit the ground and the air expelled from her lungs, she knew the years had been fulfilling and well spent. Her ceiling came into focus as she blinked the flashing lights from her eyes. Into view came Corey, grinning like a child as he stooped over her.
You were a fool to get so close, he said.
May felt the cold ache from her side and let out an involuntary groan, which brought another smile as Corey slowly pulled his blade from her ribcage.
I will control him eventually, May. He is still young, and his power is not fully realized. But when he hears of your death, I will be there to take advantage of his grief.
May watched as he cleaned the blood off his knife, using her beautiful rugs, before replacing it into the hidden sheath beneath his robe.
I intend to rule this land. I'll do anything to make sure it happens. Seth will not stand in my way. Once he is under my control, then all will fall at my feet.
Corey stood. His hatred was written across his face. May stared into his eyes and smiled.
Why are you smiling, woman?
Corey said.
You are dead. I have won. You cannot stop me.
May whispered softly, forcing Corey to kneel again to hear her words.
You have killed me, Corey. But it was through my own actions that my death has occurred.
Corey looked confused.
I knew about the knife.
She smiled, her best self-satisfied grin. Then coughed as she found her breath was harder to draw into her chest to speak.
I saw this event a long time ago. I held you when you were first born. Taught you the skills you needed to become a spear worker. All in the knowledge of what you would potentially do in the future. My own gifts are also unique.
She coughed again as Corey leaned over her.
Prophecy is an old magic, one many believe they have. But they only hold a minute amount of the source to allow them to truly understand. I have watched Seth grow into a man, knowing exactly what the gods have planned for him. I watched you knowing exactly what you would do, though I hoped for another outcome, perhaps for a little longer. But sadly, now is my time, and I am grateful for my life.
Corey stared blankly.
You are delirious, old woman. You knew none of this. I have been the master manipulator for many years. I turned our death, made her my own servant against you. I thought you were the one I needed to control, but it was Seth, always Seth. And I realized that too late. But now, with you gone, I will take his mind. He will kneel to me.
You think you have won, but what you have done today will add resolve to Seth. You have undone all your work in a fit of anger and desperation, just as I knew you would.
May grimaced in pain.
This is what must be, for you will never control him in his lifetime.
Another cough produced blood on her lips.
You will soon discover who you are. Then one day I will return to see the end of this. Let me pass you one last piece of advice.
She said as she struggled to catch her breath.
Once Seth discovers who he really is, you will never control him.
A smile crossed her lips. May couldn't help but feel smug, knowing how incensed Corey was. The flash of metal reflected the orange flames of her fire as it lifted into the air. The knife he had cleaned so rudely on a precious gift descended with great force. The blow didn't bring any pain, as she was now fully prepared for the end to arrive. She watched as Corey repeatedly stabbed her, as though witnessing the events outside her own body. Spittle exploded from his mouth as he screamed in anger each time he plunged his knife into her chest. It was interesting to her that, in that moment of death, she was unimpressed at the skill level of the man murdering her. Ever the teacher, she considered his form and, in her mind, corrected his technique. Corey's eyes flashed as she expected them to. He had heard her last thoughts, and they were disapproving and pitying. Several more times, Corey drove his blade into her. She was only hanging on by a thread, but she wouldn't let him see her leave this world. This is a satisfaction she was not prepared to give. Covered in blood and breathing heavily, Corey got to his feet. The effort clearly had taken a toll on him physically and mentally. May watched as he turned to leave the scene of his brutal attack. As he left, she glimpsed the first stars of night, their silvery light sparkling in the darkening sky. This had been a good life. May let go of the energy one last time, and then she was gone. Chapter 18. A Grim Discovery. The sound of birdsong and the smell of fresh morning dew welcomed Seth to the new day. Light filled the room, lighting up the chair at the end of his bed with his clothes roughly strewn across it. His head was dull, but this was nothing unusual following a night of drinking. The soft brown furs on his bed had been pushed aside in the night and were now gathered around his feet. As he stretched his arms, he made contact with something at his side. Startled, he glanced quickly to find Meredith asleep beside him. The sight, briefly, caused him confusion before realization hit him.
I'm married,
he thought as he watched his new wife lay beside him. He slowly brought down his arms, fearful that any sudden movement would wake her. The sight of her naked beside him was one that he welcomed. If this was the price of marriage, then it was certainly worth the cost. His arm brushed against hers as he lowered it to his side. The feeling of her skin was magical. Seth let himself press into her warmth as memories of their wedding night replayed in his mind. The sound of a yawn broke his reverie. He looked down into the eyes of his wife. Meredith smiled at him as she cleared the sleep from her eyes.
I must say, that was not what I expected a wedding night to be like,
she said as she turned over onto her back. Seth suddenly realized what he was looking at and quickly turned his head away from her exposed flesh.
We are married, Seth. You have no need to look away. I am enjoying the view as much as you,
she said as her eyes moved down his naked body.
My mother told me not to have high expectations of the first time, as it is generally clumsy and uncomfortable. She was wrong.
Her grin lit up her face as her blue eyes sparkled with mischief.
I will need to experience the same thing again to check it wasn't a one-off.
Seth caught his breath as a hand brushed down his chest before resting on his thigh.
And you wish to experience more now?
He asked as he began to fully take in the body of his wife. If he had been told what to expect, he was also sure that what he felt the previous night would not be close to anything he ever imagined it could be. He had been with women before, but this was something truly special.
I do,
she said as her hand gripped hold of his manhood. The morning passed quickly. Their desire for each other never seemed satisfied, nor their newly found love of each other's touch. The knock on the door came unexpectedly. They both tried to ignore the sound as they held each other. The knocking was insistent, though.
Hold on, I'm coming, and this better be a good reason for disturbing me,
Seth shouted from the edge of his bed. He pulled on his trousers, then made his way through the white curtain that separated his bedroom from the rest of the house. As he passed the small table in the centre of the front room, he noticed that many of the gifts they had received from their wedding guests were neatly stacked in the corner next to his favourite chair. It was a strange sight, as he didn't recall bringing them in. The face of Corey welcomed him as he yanked open the door.
Corey, what do you want? I am busy,
he said as he checked over his shoulder towards the curtain, knowing Meredith was waiting on their bed for him.
Seth, I am truly sorry to disturb you, but something has happened. You need to come with me.
The sound of Corey's words in his head still made him uncomfortable, but the expression on his new uncle's face gave Seth pause.
What has happened?
Seth said aloud.
It may not be something we should discuss verbally, as we wouldn't want to upset your wife, would we?
Corey again sent the words into Seth's mind. He felt a buzzing begin as he listened to the words.
Then tell me, I'm not in the mood to leave my house today.
Seth pushed the words back into the mind of Corey. He could feel his irritation increase as the buzzing in his mind continued.
Very well. May is dead.
The words were clear, even above the sound of the buzz. Seth stared back at Corey, waiting for the smile of someone who was joking. It did not come. Without another word, Seth rushed back to his bedroom to grab his shirt and boots.
I have to go. I will be back soon,
he said as he quickly dressed.
Don't worry, I will tell you everything when I return,
he added as the expression on Meredith's face seemed to ask for explanation.
I promise,
he said finally as he placed a kiss on her lips before heading out of the house to join Corey. The journey to May's house was not long, though Seth felt the weight of time as he got closer to her cabin. A crowd of people were gathered outside as they arrived. His father stood among several distressed villagers, all pointing and waving their arms towards the door.
Seth, I am sorry to have brought you here on what should be a day of... Well, I am sorry.
His father trailed off as he glanced over his shoulder towards a small wooden structure surrounded by May's flower garden. The sight of the blooming plants reminded Seth of the woman who had taught him over the years. It was a great source of pride for her that she maintained her flower beds without the use of spay. It wasn't because she didn't believe it would help. She merely liked the challenge of cultivating her garden with her knowledge of the earth rather than her gifts of the earth's energy. Seth moved past his father towards the darkened door. Many of the villagers gathered fell silent as he stepped into the room. His heart sank at the sight of May lying on the floor surrounded in blood. Instantly, a rage filled him as he crouched down beside his lifeless teacher.
Who did this?
He growled.
We do not know, son. It happened last night, and we can't find any signs of struggle or reason for it.
Seth searched the room. All May's precious trinkets and gifts still lined the shelves neatly and without any sign that someone had been into her home to rob her. Many of the things were valuable, more than the sentimental value they had to May. They were precious metals and gems among the collection. Seth closed his eyes as he focused his mind. The buzzing in his head had increased since he arrived, but he had no time for hangovers today. He needed to find out who he should kill for this.
Mara, who did this?
He asked as the spirits drew close.
Master, there has been an evil in this room that now fills it with the filth of its memory. We do not know who did this, but we do know you will meet them again.
I do not want cryptic puzzles, Mara. I want a name.
The two sprites moved away as the intensity of his stare burrowed into them.
Master, we truly do not know. We have sought guidance, but all we hear from the whispers around us is you will meet them again. We have no doubt that whoever did this will regret it when you find them.
Regret?
Seth answered.
They will be dead.
The room grew dark as clouds began to fill the sky. Energy surrounded him as he concentrated on the body of the old woman. He felt a hand touch his shoulder briefly before the energy, which now coursed through him, removed it.
Son.
Seth heard his father's voice, but did not turn away from May.
Seth, we need to make plans, and I would like your advice on how we proceed with her funeral.
This comment hit him hard. Of course there would need to be a funeral. He knew she would want something small, but he and all from the surrounding villagers would want to see her sent to Woden's table with a proper pyre.
I will find whoever did this, Father. They will pay.
Yes, son. I will be there alongside you as they die. But for now, we must allow her to be cleaned and readied for her final ceremony.
Seth felt his father's hand rest upon his shoulder once more. This time it stayed as he had let go of the energy, knowing that he would not achieve anything today by holding on to his anger. The following day, Seth took Meredith to the hilltop beside May's house. It had beautiful views across the lands of Mercia and was a favourite place for May when she lived. The pyre was built high and was surrounded by reeds and dry grasses to aid in the burning. Many had wanted a burial mound to be dug, but Seth knew May wanted to be cremated. She had told him many times that she did not want her remains eaten by worms, as the thought made her feel ill. So it was, the first of many arguments over the last day was won.
Do you want to say some words?
Meredith asked as they watched the final bundles of hay be added to the bottom of the stack. Seth shook his head. In truth, he wanted to say something, but his headache had not subsided from the previous day. The noise of the constant buzz was irritating him to the point where he felt he would likely shout any words of memory rather than speak them with reverence. Corey stood at the head of the pyre. His eyes gazed down to the ground as he waited for the collected villagers to settle. Many had travelled from the surrounding settlements. Many wanted to be here as May's final farewell took place. There would be many left disappointed at the speed of the funeral, but Corey had argued long about the need to act quickly. He felt her connection to the Spey would hasten her body's decomposition and that a quick burial would be needed.
Friends,
Corey began as the last few stragglers arrived.
May's life touched each of us. She was a remarkable woman, with a capacity for kindness that we will all surely miss. Woden will be grateful that her untimely end will ensure her presence at his table earlier than expected.
There was a murmur that circulated the crowd at this comment. All know by now that she had been murdered, and many were calling for action from their leaders. A current theory was that her death was linked to the Welsh and their increased raids over the last few weeks. Many wanted revenge, with some openly calling for battle. Seth waited for the whispering to stop. though he too wanted action. He had stomped around his house the previous night, arguing with his father about how they should proceed.
We cannot simply take up the spear without proof, son. I know you want to find the person responsible, but without any way to show the Welsh were to blame, then we may be rushing into a situation that may result in an outcome we do not want.
Then how do we find proof? Tell me.
Seth answered.
This I don't know, son. We have searched the house and her grounds, but can't find anything. No footprints in her flowers, no weapon, or indeed any sign someone was there other than May's dead body.
The fact that people were not usually killed in their own homes was something none wanted to raise. The idea of somebody who would kill a defenceless old woman in her own room was one none wanted to dwell on.
But I will know this person, so once I lay eyes on him, we will have all the proof we need,
Seth argued.
The Mara told me I would meet them again. This means I know them already.
Seth,
Corey interjected.
How many Welshmen have you met?
I don't know. A handful. More if you count the battlefield.
So, your intent is to march into Wales and visit every village and castle until you spot someone you know?
Corey asked.
Seth, my uncle is right,
Meredith said.
Your anger is unwarranted, as is your desire for revenge. But I cannot help but think that May would want you to continue to use her knowledge and training, as that is a proper memorial to her life. Vengeance is fine, but it does not last.
Seth knew she was right, as was Corey. He had no way to find this person, short of attacking everyone he knew. The discussions were wearisome. Corey postured, as he was prone to doing, and when the topic of May's replacement arose, he reluctantly accepted the role, though Seth felt a certain amount of smugness in his words, which told him Corey was expecting the offer. Seth watched as the flames began to lick at the platform May's body rested on. He felt his wife's arm as she pushed it through, then pulled him into her. He felt the anger and despair at the passing of May, but knew that with his wife beside him, he could get through his grief. The days came and went. Seth tried to focus on the daily tasks of setting up a home and starting a new farm. His father had brought pigs and chickens as his wedding gifts, so he had to build pens and coops for them. He found that these little projects help him deal with the loss of his mentor. He had even begun to take lessons from Corey, though they were short-lived and he hadn't found them as intuitive or enjoyable as those he received from May.
Look, Seth, let's focus on some basic skills at first, so I can get a feeling for your level of knowledge and expertise,
Corey said.
I think we both know the level I am at. I only want to discuss certain aspects which have been puzzling me lately,
Seth answered as he rubbed his temples. He had found that any interaction with Corey led to headaches.
All right. Then let's discuss the Mara. How is it you managed to get them to help you? What is it you have offered in return?
Corey,
Seth erupted.
I'm tired of discussing the Mara. They help me because they want to. No other reason.
Seth stood. The pain in his head increased as he stared down at Corey. The expression on his face was focused concentration. Seth could see he was trying incredibly hard to control himself as sweat beads began to appear on his brow.
This has nothing to do with you, and if you do not want to discuss any other area of Spey, then I think we are done for the day.
Seth turned, then rushed out of the cabin that once was May's. His head throbbed with the now familiar buzz, which would not go away. He practically ran home before throwing himself onto his bed and covering his head with the furs. Darkness was the only remedy for these headaches he had found. That and distance from Corey. Since that day, Corey became an infrequent visitor to the village, with May's cottage left empty for many days. Seth found that not having to deal with Corey allowed him to better maintain his focus. Life continued, and he began to allow himself to move on from the death of his teacher. She would forever live in his heart, and for now, that was enough. If he came across her killer, he would deal with them in a way they would not Welcome.